So hello and welcome to another episode of the Dermatilla Diaries. Today I have with me a special guest called Emma, who is the creator of Worry Not Jewelry, which is a discreet fidget jewelry specifically designed for busy hands and to calm minds. So welcome, Emma. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. So Emma is originally from Sheffield, UK, but now lives in Somerset. I can't say it. Right, anybody that hears that you live in Somerset instantly will try and say Somerset.
Somerset.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying not to, but I just had to. Sorry. Yeah. Before it happened, it just happened. Yeah. So Emma studied psychology and has previously worked in fundraising and mental health support. So I'd love to know a little bit more about how Worry Not Jewelry has started.
Sure. Yeah. So it was actually just before the pandemic started, I launched sort of last March, beginning of April last year. So it was literally bang start of the pandemic. And it was just a conversation between me and a friend. So basically, I was just sort of saying it'd be cool to make like a jewelry line. I was just like, something I've always wanted to do. And I was like, and I always need something to like fidget with. So I wonder if there's anything like I could make that's like something to help like calm anxiety. And because I have like a skin picking disorder, so I just thought, yeah, it'd be good to create that sort of thing. And then she said, do you know about worry beads like that the Greeks used? So I was like, I've never like used them, but I really wanted to like look into it more. So like I started looking into like Greek worry beads, but then I thought they're not really like that discreet, like they're quite chunky. But I do like the fact that they use gemstones and things like that. So I thought, well, I could make like a bit of a jewelry version of them. So then I sort of like just made my first necklace based on like Greek worry beads, but I took like a bit of a modern sort of spin on it, and then it just started from there, really. And just as that started, I sort of lost my part-time job anyway, so I thought, well, I'll just get all out and just sort of start Worry Not. And yeah, it's all sort of grown since. It's just, yeah, and
that's then people, so cool.
Yeah, people then started sort of saying, oh, do you make bangles, do you make bracelets, you know, do you make rings? And then I've just sort of like grown it sort of as people have sort of, you know, paid interest to it. So yeah, it's sort of like a very organic thing that happened. It wasn't always in my plans. It was just, yeah, really organic. And yeah.
Well, that's so nice. It's nice that people have not only shown an interest in what I guess was a hobby and now has turned into, you know, an actual big business. But also you're getting valuable feedback.
Yeah.
Of what they'd like to see you do based on, you know, what they're asking you specifically for. So I guess that's really helpful for you because you're like, oh no, I haven't. But
yeah, definitely. I definitely like could. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just sort of really grown organically since then. So, but yeah, originally I was just like, I could just start with like the worry beads sort of version, the necklaces. But yeah, as I say, then people started, you know, saying, have you thought about doing this, thought about doing that? So yeah, I just sort of grew my collections and yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. I imagine it's very therapeutic in a way to create them as well. Like, cause it keeps your hands busy and your creative juices
flowing. Yeah, it's exactly that. It's because obviously I do pick my skin and I am anxious. This gives me like a real focus to use my hands doing something as well. It's like, it helps my skin picking disorder as well in turn. So it's great.
That's great. Cause I've got my ring on now. Don't know if you can see it. And I love this one. I can't remember what was the color for this one. Cause it's like a very light green.
And it's really nice. It's a green aventurine stone.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That sounds cool.
Very pale green. Yeah.
Yeah, because you do quite a lot of colours, don't you? And I remember seeing this one and I just thought, oh, that's really nice. I love green. And I love how the design is like very minimalistic. You can wear it with so many different things. And to be honest, like, because I keep it on my index finger.
Yeah.
And especially if like I'm working, say I don't know, something's on my mind, or if work is quite full on, I'm trying to do some things, or if I'm in a meeting or something, and usually my hands would go towards grazing my forearms or my neck or wherever it is, like scalp. This is really helpful because instead I just kind of stopped doing this.
Roll the bead, yeah.
Yeah, you just start kind of moving it, rolling the bead around. Mm-hmm. And it, sometimes, I mean, I don't know for you, but at least for me, I can't be completely still. Like,
no,
something has to move.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm exactly the same. Like, I've always been a fidgeter. I've always, you know, like your labels in your clothes and things like that, like rubbing at them. I don't know. It's a really weird thing, but yeah, anything to sort of like distract your hands away from sort of damaging your skin is really useful. Just, and it just serves as a reminder that like we're not alone. Like I look down and I think there's so many people that just need this sort of thing. So it just like, it just reminds people that there's also others out there, like
that's so true,
trying like needing to fidget with something or yeah. So
yeah, I think you've touched on a great point, because when you do look down on it, it is a reminder that it's a positive reinforcement, you know, that you're not alone, even if you're feeling really low in that moment, especially after like a skin picking session, right?
Yeah.
You just feel like a lot of dread, your anxiety is through the roof, you're feeling very ashamed and disappointed in yourself. And so looking down on this like lovely bit of jewelry that's specifically designed for someone like you dealing with
by someone who's dealing with exactly the same thing. It's
yeah, that's so wholesome. I love that.
Yeah. That's why I like doing it as well. It's nice.
Have you received any like positive feedback from like say other compulsive skin pickers in this example, people that suffer from bodily focused repetitive behaviors?
Yeah, someone sort of left an Etsy sort of review and said, like, I've been skin picking for years and like this has really, really helped me. Like, and even just sort of like knowing that there's things now coming out that is gonna help me, you know, and people are trying different ways to manage it now. It's becoming like a real recognized thing. Like before it wasn't, no one ever really talked about it, I guess, and you just had to deal with it. But yeah, it's just like having that community of people is also really, really beneficial. Yeah.
Totally agree. And like what you said, you know, because there's more things that are becoming readily available for our community, you feel more seen, you feel more definitely heard and recognized.
Like understood, or for the first time, like, oh, others are doing this as well. Like I remember like seeing someone's thumbs that looked exactly the same as mine. And I was like, that's the first like pair of thumbs that I've seen that people do, like people are picking as much as I pick. And I was just like, that's it. Like, I no longer feel like, I don't know, alone in this. It must be, you know, a condition that I don't feel I can necessarily help it. Like, I've got ways to manage it, but you know, I think it probably might always be there. Who knows? I'm not sure.
Absolutely. I mean, for me myself, I always try and go with a, you know, management first kind of approach rather than constantly searching for a cure, because I feel like there's so much pressure that you put on yourself, or like I put on myself if I'm searching for a cure, like, you know, I have to stop this. Like, I need to stop this or remove this from my life. And I don't know about you, if you ever, you know, were kind of saying these things at some point or another, but for me it was like the more I kept pushing, like this has to stop, the more I would actually go towards it all the more.
Yeah, or you'd have like a long period of not, and then all of a sudden it's almost like a snap, and then it'd be maybe a little bit worse than before, like your session. Like, are you, I've gone through that cycle many times. Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Especially if you're like trying to wait for an event. That's something, it's like delayed gratification. And I like to think of it with myself as like prize mentality. So say, if I know that I'm going on a spa weekend or something and there's a pool, And, you know, because that's the first thing I look at. If I'm going to go somewhere, like, is there any chance that I'm going to have to, you know, show skin? And it's just not a consideration for many other people. But for me, it's like, I need to know, and I need to know well in advance. A big consideration. And I've lost my train of thought. I started going into it, started thinking about that panic, and then it just threw me off. going back to what we were saying, I think it is just so comforting because it is a very lonely disorder, you know, dermatillomania.
When you're in those moments, you're almost like, I don't recognize I'm doing it quite a lot of the time. I've heard that a lot of people have that, where it's you almost disassociate from it, and no matter how many times you're saying stop it, or someone else is saying stop it, you almost, I don't, there's something about it that you can't. It's
totally hard. I think, like, for me, like, because I see it as like a comfort blanket in a way. So the more, you know, I'm trying not to, it's like if I'm a small child and I have a comfort blanket, and if life is feeling quite overwhelming or like scary, like daunting or frustrating or whatever, I'll go for that comfort blanket because it'll make me feel protected. It'll make me feel in a state of, you know, I feel in control in this space with what I have. And if I was to, you know, just have that ripped away from me, then with nothing else to comfort me, then I want that blanket back. And that's kind of like the metaphor that I always have it in my mind when I'm feeling really, if I ever feel quite stressed out and annoyed at myself for picking, I'm like, well, you know, what I'm doing longer term is trying to slowly step away from this, from needing this blanket when things are tough, rather than looking for an unhealthy alternative. Because because that's quite easily done too, right? If you, I don't know about you, but before I started compulsive skin picking, I was a chronic nail biter. And then it just stopped out of nowhere. And for years I was like, oh, like, I don't know, I just stopped. That's brilliant. But actually, what happened as I started skin picking?
You almost moved on. Mine was almost like I've moved from my face onto my thumbs. I don't know. Like, always in my teens, in my early years, I would sit for hours in front of the mirror just picking at my face. But then for whatever reason, I must have been sort of 10 years ago that I just started on my thumbs, and I don't really pick at my face anymore. It's just my thumbs that I focus on. So, yeah, I don't know why that transition happened or why I stopped with my face. It just naturally happened that way. But
yeah, and I think, like, people seem to, like, it's such a person by person case. If you find something that satisfies you, then you tend to go back to that area. So for me, like, for me, I know that the areas that I pick the most at are chest, shoulders, back, and I know that I have, like, not naturally very oily skin, and so if I'm working out and stuff, I'll probably get a breakout, and then that just kind of sets me off, because there's but for yourself, there may be, I don't know, something that's quite satisfying with the thumb area.
I don't know, it tends to always be quite dry because I've picked it, and then it's almost like the scab cycle is like it just never ending almost. So I try and moisturize as much as I can as well, as well as using sort of my jewelry to help and stuff like that. I'm always moisturizing my hands now just to try and not let there be any areas that's easier to pick, I guess.
And are there any moisturizers that, like, are your go-to that you always use?
I do quite like, it's called Aesop, or Aesop, I guess you could say. I think it's like got chamomile in it, which is just it's really soft. It's quite like a thick lotion, but it's really nice because it's not very oily or anything. So
that sounds so soothing. I love chamomile.
Yeah, so nice.
Oh, well, I'll have to give that a little look. Because I think that's definitely for me as well. It's not so much my thumbs, but if my nails are dry and the skin around the nails, I start like, I don't know what it is. It's like, picking at the nail. I can't explain it, but it's just, it's something that's kind of, as my nails get a bit longer, it's something that I start doing if the skin around the area is dry. So, so I'm always on the lookout for keeping them hydrated. So I'll check that
one out. Yeah, it does help. It does help.
Cool. And so going back to the Worry Not jewelry, what material do you use to make your pieces?
So I like to be like non-allergenic. So it's sterling silver for my rings. And obviously quite a lot of people aren't allergic to that. So that's good. It's all sterling silver, even the tiny little beads for my rings. And then it's sort of silver plated. So the beads on my necklaces will be silver plated. And the gemstones are all natural as well. So I try to use as little sort of nickel and things like that in it as possible, because I know how allergic I am personally to jewellery. And a lot of my sort of like the cords that I use on the necklaces are almost like leather coated, or they're quite soft. So there'll be not too many allergies going on or anything.
That's good. It's good that you've used yourself as a bit of a guinea pig to be like, if it works for me, then it hopefully will work for a lot of people
and
too.
And I tested my earrings. I've sort of wore them for like 3 days just to triple check. They're fine. They're non-allergenic, so it's fine.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. It's always nice when those things are considered, because there's nothing worse than, you know, you're getting yourself, like treating yourself to a piece of jewellery that you've got your eye on, and then your skin just says no.
And then it's no. It leaves a black mark.
And you just, exactly the marks that they leave behind when they start like going a bit green or whatever, because they're just not great quality. And it's like, oh man, especially if you really love it, you want to wear it every day. So that's another thing that I think is really cool about Worry Not. You've put those considerations in place, so it just makes it a lot easier for people that are checking out the stuff.
Yeah, and I know silver is very popular, so it just makes a lot of sense.
I love silver. I don't wear a lot of gold. I think just because of my skin tone, it just doesn't really.
Yeah, I'm the same. But I am hoping to bring reintroduce. I did bring them out, but then the line's gone now. But I'm gonna bring back my gold rings.
Nice.
Gold filled, but they're a bit paler. They're kind of like pale gold. But I'm just in the process of relisting them on my sites and things, so they'll be out sort of very soon in the next couple of months. I'll try and get them out. So.
Oh, exciting. And where do you sell your jewellery pieces at the moment?
So at the moment, I have my own website, which is worrynot.co.uk, and you can find all my collections on there. And I also list them on Etsy. So I have like my own little Etsy shop, it's Etsy/shop/worrynotuk. And you can go and check it out. And it's exactly the same collections you'll see on both sites. Yeah, and exactly the same cost. So.
Oh, lovely. And so what is with Worry Not, what do you enjoy most about the work you do for Worry Not?
So I think it's just the sense of fulfillment and the fact that it's mine and I can be as creative as I want to be. I kind of feel like it's so close to my heart. It's like my baby. It's like something that helps me, helps others with the same sort of things, going through the same thing. So it's just like and the creativity behind it is amazing. It's just, I love it. I love doing it. It's great.
Oh, it's so lovely. Like you're clearly so passionate and that must be so rewarding. Not only are you doing something that you're very passionate about, it keeps your hands busy. So it's actually helping you too, but you're also, you're raising awareness by creating these pieces with this purpose, and you're helping people feel seen, feel understood, you know. that's must be really rewarding.
Definitely. And it's like it builds my own confidence as well. It's like gives me a lot of self-esteem through doing it. I always sort of like, I had a bit of imposter syndrome. If I was working for someone else, I'd be a bit like a bit of a perfectionist, but I can put as much or as just do as much as I want with this. So it's amazing.
Oh, that is amazing. What items in your collection do you personally love the most? Are you more of a necklace lover, or do you use all of them?
I use all of them. I try not to go overboard and wear like too much at once. So like today I'm wearing like a spinner pendant, which you can sit and spin, which is great. And then I love my bangles, are my favorite.
That's really pretty.
I like my rings as well. I love my rings. I'm not so keen myself on like corded jewelry, but I can see why some people do opt for cord jewelry and things. So
does it seem to be at the moment a more of a popular item, or is it really just varied?
It just varies. It really does vary. Yeah, and varies on size. I offer different sizes and things like that. So yeah, it's I'm glad I offer sort of the two options if you do want sort of like a more casual type of jewelry, like a corded bracelet. It's more casual, but whereas the bangles you can sort of wear casually and a bit more dressy. So but I think the cord bracelets are more like everyday thing to wear. But
it's nice that it's considered, because each jewelry piece is very unique, and you can wear them with different outfits, whether it's formal, informal. I love the bangles. I actually think, if anyone was looking at jewelry such as Worry Not, to that's designed to actually be helpful in reducing skin picking, or just like keeping your hands moving. Then I think it's always good to have it on the other hand. Say if it was a bangle in this case, the other hand of the one that you usually do a lot of picking, especially like day to day. So for me, I'll usually have something on the other hand, other wrist. So if I'm sitting at my desk, a lot of the time I won't even know that I'm skin picking, but I'm doing it because my hands are just moving. And having something there that I can fiddle with.
Just redirect that focus.
Because you don't, I don't know about you, but for me, if I had a camera watching me, watching me do it, and somebody asked me how many times did you pick today, or how long, I'd be like a couple times, sit down, get comfy, because I'm going to show you it was actually this amount of times and for this long, and I'd be like, oh Christ. But even though you spend a lot of time on your own, at least in my experience, alone behind closed doors and skin picking you also spend a lot of time unconsciously doing it throughout the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have a clue how often I do it. It's a lot. I just have to like just try and refocus my energies and just get, or I'll just sort of like say, okay, I'll go make a cup of tea, or I'll go and do this, or go and do that, and just keep yourself as busy as you can. I think it's or just touch my bangles, touch anything else but my skin.
I mean, it's great that the jewelry is there, because they are designed to be beneficial, and so you can fiddle to your heart's content. It's kind of like having, I know some people really love like fidget toys. It's like having a portable wearable fidget toy that's just always there.
Yeah, because toys, I feel like they are a bit, obviously a bit childlike, a bit, I don't really want to carry around a key ring that's bright and it's just not very me, but it's the same concept exactly.
Yeah, so it's nice that these are, a bit more stylish, they're very, in design, very unisex, genderless. So
as discreet as they can be, I guess, as discreet as jewelry like as I wanted them to be. Also each bead can move, so
It's nice. Like if anybody saw them, they wouldn't immediately question, they'd be like why have you, what's that do, do you know what I mean? It just looks nice and they move.
Yeah
That's so cool. And so On so your journey with skin picking, obviously, I'm sure, well, maybe this has always been a dream, or maybe it's something that's just kind of come around in recent years or months, and it's made you think, you know, let's do it, let's create this. I bet, you know, a younger self would be like, you know, really happy that today you're out there doing something proactive and positive and creative to help channel something that once may have made you feel quite alone, quite low.
I often go back and think, I never would have really thought I would be doing this day to day, but I'm really glad I am. It's almost like I'm living my authentic self now. I'm able to speak more openly about skin picking, about my anxiety, about everything like that. And it's telling my story is like, it's a way to, I don't know, it helps me as well. But it's I think a lot of people are just keep problems to themselves. And, you know, it got to the point where I was just like, I've got to just start being more open, I guess. And you've got to live authentically as possible, I think. It really does help.
You've touched on something really interesting, is that like these have kind of become a bit of a conversation starter on a conversation that's quite tricky for people to have or want to have. Because it's a topic that, unless you're really open to talk about it and just you feel like very confident in what you're about to say, it's really hard to approach it otherwise. And you don't know, you know, the questions that could be asked after. And so
I mean, I used to have like plasters all over my thumbs just to, and people would say, have you hurt your thumb? And I'd just say, yeah, no, I just hurt it, you know, just chopping the vegetables or whatever, just brushing it off. But now it's like I'm not really wearing, but I'm able to say, you know, oh, it's because I've got this skin picking disorder, you know, I'm wearing this plaster to help. And it's just, it makes me feel validated. Like, oh, I can actually say that. As an adult, no one's really judging. Everyone always says, oh, I didn't, you know, I pick or my friend picks or, you know.
Wow. And so you having those conversations, do you feel like the responses you've received have been different to maybe what you in the past would have thought you'd have received?
Yeah, I thought people would be like, oh, like be strained with it, or I always thought, well, how are they going to respond if I ever say, you know, I have trouble picking my skin? But everyone's just like, all right, like no one's really, they just say, oh, okay, like not really, it's not a big deal if someone hears that, I guess. It's what it is, and it's
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely found the same. Like the more I talk about it, the more I become more confident talking about it. But also I get, you know, very similar responses, which are, okay, oh, all right. Some of them, you know, inquisitive, like they want to know more about it. But then also from talking about it, I have had people in my life come to me and say, I do that.
Yeah, you know? A lot of people say, oh, my friend, like I've seen my friend do that.
And it just totally widens this what feels like a very, very small circle all of a sudden just feels really big. Like for me, I remember when a work colleague, when we both got in early to work one day, came over to my desk and told me, you know, that they suffer from the same thing, and even family members and friends, and it's like, wow, like I had no idea. But then I remember, well, you know, this is something that you can, with dermatillomania, you can manipulate it in certain ways, because it depends on, you know, the areas that you pick. And sometimes you can cover it with, you know, with clothes, with scarves, with makeup. Like, so sometimes, and I know that's not always the case, but for some people, it's just really hard to know if they are struggling. And so you feel quite alone, but that's maybe because you just haven't had those conversations. You don't know that actually support could be a lot closer than you think. People could also be dealing with the same thing a lot closer than you think.
I mean, I think it's only since the very start of Worry Not, I just sort of typed in like skin picking and ways to help skin picking. And then it just came up like, the name for it is a disorder. And then I sort of like found people like yourselves on Instagram, and it just sort of built from there, really. And then I've just found a whole community of people that are also going through the same thing. And yeah, and I never knew. A lot of people almost never know it's a disorder.
Totally. Because for many years, did you feel like it was a habit?
Is that how you saw it? Yeah, I just thought this might be a bad habit, or why am I doing this? Why can't I stop this? It's like I knew it was almost abnormal. It's not just like squeeze a spot in the mirror and then walk away. It's not just that. It was a constant. It was, yeah.
Like obsessive.
Yeah, really obsessive. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you speak to a medical professional like yourself? Did you reach out to anyone?
No. I've always sort of been quite open about my anxiety and spoken to doctors about that side of things. But not specifically skin picking. I never went to the GP about that specifically. So I never felt the confidence to do it. I would do it now. I definitely would do it now. But I feel like I am more able to manage it now anyway. So,
I feel like, at least with my personal experience, but also talking to others, like I did go to the doctors about it, and I had, you know, two occasions where I just didn't really, I came away not really feeling that great. I was handed antidepressants, and you know, that's not what I was trying to say. I was trying to communicate, you know, like what my options, I'm feeling this way because of this, but it's not for me, it's not depression. Do you know what I mean? And so I think for many people, there's a feeling of like not being understood, or just kind of getting pushed away or judged. And they feel like they can't, or lack of treatment that they know of available, that they can't really come forward and have those conversations.
Yeah. And if, I don't know, because I'd never heard that skin picking could be a disorder or something that's treatable in any way, or, you know, a medical condition. I never knew that. So I wouldn't have known to even mention it at the GPs in the first place, if that makes sense. It just was never, ever discussed that it could be, you know, something more than just a phase or a habit, or
That's what I'm really hoping, that, you know, through Worry Not and other brands that are, you know, helping to raise awareness and people having those conversations about dermatillomania and other bodily focused repetitive behaviors, it gets these disorders on the map. And then it gets us on the map. It gets us seen. It gets us this recognized, the feelings recognized. And then hopefully there'll be, you know, more emphasis on treatments and research, and we can start to actually understand it and understand it more.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's great what you're doing. I absolutely love, you know, your values, the brand's ethos, you know, the story behind it. I think it's really admirable. And, you know, from someone who's within this community, like, I'm really thankful that you're putting yourself out there, taking the time to create these amazing pieces of jewelry, but also, you know, sharing your vulnerability, your story behind these, because that takes some guts. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that you've had nothing but, you know, positive experiences with it all. So I wanted to ask, because I like to end it on like a quote or a poem. And so I kind of wanted to know, what would be your favorite quote or favorite poem, something that, you know, maybe you'd like to share that we can have a little think about, you know, is there any?
So I wrote like a couple of short ones down. I mean, a classic one I always sort of like used to refer back to is, if you're going through hell, keep going.
It's
a classic one by Winston Churchill. It's, you know, the classic, just keep going, battle through it. I think it just speaks for itself, really. But then I've got a favourite author, Arundhati Roy, and she writes amazing things. So I wrote down, This is what careless words do. They make people love you a little less. So I'm all about kindness. I think like just people saying horrible things to each other is just not great. And she said like careless words make people love you a little less. And I just feel like there's people saying careless words all the time. It's so unnecessary.
Absolutely. And actually, I mean, I think on Monday, I think it was like my 6 month anniversary alcohol free. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because of my anxiety attributed mm-hmm. to, you know, the drinking, the anxiety I'd get. And I've found, at least in my experience since being sober, is that I'm having such like more present experiences with people I love and meaningful conversations, and I'm there with them. I want to connect with them, and I definitely feel like, I mean, that quote that you've shared, it's up to everyone's individual interpretation of it, but for me that spoke to me because as you said, there's just so many people just carelessly saying things right now.
It's like
and carelessly spending time, and
for what reason? I feel like kindness is the only way. Just be kind. It's just this.
Absolutely. It goes a long way, doesn't it? Especially if you're dealing with something like compulsive skin picking.
Exactly, because you never know what that other person's dealing with. You never know. I don't think anybody would have ever known that I was skin picking behind closed doors or doing anything. So I don't know, but
And it can also be, you know, kindness to yourself as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like how the way that we talk to ourselves, that inner voice, it's like what you said, you know, if it wasn't someone else liking or loving you a little less, it's also yourself. You know, if you're constantly harsh to yourself and criticizing yourself, you're not really going to
love yourself a little less every time.
Absolutely. I think you can take it so many different angles. That's such a great quote. Well, thank you so much, Emma, because it's been such a lovely, refreshing conversation. And if anybody wants to check out Worry Not, would you be able to just
go to worrynot.co.uk or my Etsy shop, which is Worry Not UK.
And are you on Instagram as well?
Yeah, I am, which is Worry Not UK as well. And Facebook as well is the same. Yeah, you'll find me.
Oh, well, great. Well, thank you so much, Emma.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure to come on your podcast. I think it's amazing what you're doing as well.
Thank you. Hopefully I'm not tinny this time. I'm a bit of a rookie getting there. Well, I'll speak to you very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you ever so much.